Good morning and greetings again in Jesus' name. It's a wonderful new morning, and I'm glad to share with you again this morning out of Luke chapter 2. I preached a message on this recently, Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20, and I believe I will just be talking about that this week, just kind of going through and getting out of it what we can. Making points here and there. Sometimes this scripture kind of gets lost in our Christmas box, and we don't consider all the great, marvelous truths that are here the way we should. I'm going to read it to you, verses 1 through 20 in Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, and shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. My central theme in this would be Luke chapter 2, verse 14. The angel saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. What does it mean to give glory to God? I think that's a valid question. The Bible speaks a lot of that and of the need to give glory to God. One definition would be to give adoration or to give praise, to worship, to give thanks, be thankful. Most of these are done with our mouth, but must come from a heart of genuine love. One interesting example of someone giving glory to God is Joshua 7, verse 19. We have the story there of how the Israelites overtook Jericho, and they were clearly commanded not to take any of the abominations of Jericho. But Achan, he saw this goodly Babylonian garment, and then he saw some gold, and he just couldn't leave his hands off of it. He had sticky fingers. He took these things, and he hid them in his tent, just like as if God wouldn't know, just like as if he could somehow get away with it down the road sometime, bring these things out and use them and get away with it. But we know that he did not get away with it. God knew about it. And it cost very dearly. There's 36 men that were killed in the Battle of Ai. They were defeated, returned back. And Joshua fell on his face before God and asked God what was happening. God said, there's sin in the camp. You go find out where it is. God could have told him where it is, but he told Moses to find out, and he took tribe by tribe, and family by family, came down to Achan, and Joshua said to Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. I get the picture there of when we acknowledge God, be who he is, when we put him in his rightful place, we realize that he's all-seeing, all-knowing, he's everywhere. We cannot hide anything from him. We confess our sins. We're giving glory to God. May we do that. May we be faithful in living an honest, upright, transparent life before God and before each other. Getting back to our text here in Luke, the beginning of the chapter, let's consider the way that Jesus came into the earth. He was born of the Virgin Mary. They were in Bethlehem, and the reason they were there was because of the taxation. Caesar Augustus wanted everybody to be enrolled. This taxation isn't talking about the paying of money, but rather that of enrolling or taking a census. And they went to Bethlehem because that's where David's lineage was from. He was of the lineage of David. Joseph was of the lineage of David. They went there. Was no room for them in the inn. So Jesus was born in a manger, or born in a barn and laid in a manger. And it's a marvelous thing to realize that Jesus was the only baby that ever got to choose where he would be born. Marvelous. And this is where he chose. Not in the inn, not in some fancy place, not in some well-to-do place, but having no room at the inn, they just went out in a barn, and there he was born and laid in a manger. What humility. What a example for us to be humble. What a revelation of how he did not care about riches and about rank in society. He was perfectly fine being in a manger, starting his life there. He was perfectly fine with that. He came, born, entered humankind, joined the ranks of men in this way. Philippians 2, forget which verse, tells us that he humbled himself. Then it goes on to say, even to the death of the cross. But that little phrase, he humbled himself, he did. He greatly humbled himself, just coming from heaven all the way down to the earth to join mankind. That was greatly humbling himself. A little word about humility. The word humble originates from the same root word as humus, which is dirt, earth, the fertile part of earth, the ground. So to be humble is to be down to earth. We like to be around down to earth people, don't we? I tell you, Jesus is very down to earth. He made himself down to earth. And the word human is also connected there as meaning earthly one. Us humans have great need of acknowledging who we are and being humble. Well, my friends, I'm going to stop there. Let's be humble today. before the Lord and before each other, acknowledge our needs, acknowledge who we are, and rejoice in the goodness of God. Truly, He is worthy of our glory and praise and honor and worship, thanksgiving. Let us live our lives in such a way. Bless you. If you want to leave a message, you can do so at 099. And I hope you have a wonderful day. We'll plan on being back tomorrow morning, Lord willing.